Thank you, GPF members, for this opportunity to discuss the exposure draft subsidiaries without public accountability disclosures. Let me briefly talk about key aspects of the exposure draft before we open the floor for discussion. So the proposals set out in the exposure draft would permit a subsidiary to apply IFRS standards with reduced disclosure requirements, provided that the subsidiary is non-publicly accountable and it has a parent that applies IFRS standards in its consolidated financial statements. The proposals are expected to simplify and reduce costs of subsidiaries and groups' financial reporting, because if the subsidiary is previously applying a local GAAP, applying the proposed IFRS standard would eliminate the process of converting the subsidiary's local GAAP accounts to the group's IFRS compliant numbers, or the other way around. Therefore, the subsidiary would be able to streamline its local reporting and group reporting. And by streamlining those two reporting processes, costs associated to it could be reduced. Admin costs like staff and technology, and even audit costs. Now, if the subsidiary is already applying IFRS standards, the proposals would reduce the number of disclosures it needs to provide in its own financial statements, particularly not requiring those that are designed for publicly accountable companies. There are, of course, initial implementation costs. However, it is expected that the benefits of applying the proposed standard would, in the long run, exceed the cost of implementing it, including initial implementation costs. The proposed standard is optional, so if the subsidiary or the parent thinks the cost savings are negligible, it could just decide to maintain status quo. Then probably, if the parent has other subsidiaries whose potential cost savings are sizable, then those eligible subsidiaries could opt to apply the proposed IFRS standard. In developing the disclosure requirements, the board started with the disclosures in the IFRS for SMEs. Put simply, the board borrowed the thinking and analysis it completed when it developed the IFRS for SMEs. The disclosure requirements of that standard were based in IFRS. They were simplified applying a set of principles that the board identified as important for users of non-publicly accountable financial statements. As such, the board could be satisfied that the disclosure requirements met the needs of users of subsidiaries' financial statements, as subsidiaries eligible to apply the draft standard can also apply the IFRS for SMEs. So slide 11 in the agenda paper visualizes how the board considered the IFRS for SMEs. When recognition and measurement requirements for a topic in IFRS standards are the same as that in IFRS for SMEs, the disclosures in IFRS for SMEs are used. When they differ, the board used the disclosures in the IFRS standards. Now, some practical aspects of the proposed standard. So the standard includes disclosure requirements only. Recognition, measurement, and presentation requirements are left in other IFRS standards. The proposed standard includes all the disclosures the subsidiary has to provide, and they are organized by IFRS standards. In few instances, some disclosures in other IFRS standards remain applicable. Those disclosures are included in the proposed standard as a footnote to the subheading of the IFRS standard to which they relate. Those disclosure requirements were left in other IFRS standards, and it's best to leave those disclosure requirements in situ for context. So the proposed standard also includes an interaction with IFRS 1, and this is illustrated in slide 14. Requirements about comparative information is in slide 15. So, and lastly, the exposure draft is open for comment until 31st January 2022. And with that, let me just put up slide 20. So we would like to... So we would like to hear your views on this aspect of the exposure draft. So about its scope, benefits, including cost benefits consideration, and usefulness of financial statements. Sorry. Sorry, let me just
the next page.
Something. there.
This lies our committee.
Apologies.
So while you're finding the slide back, Richard, you wanted to jump in to comment, please.
Well, the short answer is the same as Ian. Yes, 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 and yes. On the first point, do you agree with the proposed scope? With one change, you say the scope B says whose parent prepares consolidated financial statements available for public use. I think that should be any parent. So where there's any parent in the group that prepares, of the entity that prepares consolidated financial statements that are available for public use. That's one change that I think is important. And I think the other thing you should think about is whether you should allow push-down accounting into the subsidiary, because that would also eliminate a difference between the way that the internal records of that subsidiary are handled for consolidation purposes and what would be required to stand alone. We would routinely do push-down accounting for all acquisitions into the subsidiary, and that becomes the basis for management reporting, segment reporting, and other aspects of IFRS.
Yeah, but that won't be. You're not saying that it should be incorporated within the boundaries of the financial statements of the subsidiary. That's not what you're suggesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you should, but that may be a separate topic. But if you're trying to eliminate the number of adjustments between the internal accounting that's done for the subsidiary and to make it more consistent, follow the measurement principles, but reduce the disclosure, that would be one aspect where the internal reporting for that subsidiary generally would include push-down accounting for us.
Of course, those top entries, even if pushed down to the subsidiary, would be a difference between the IFRS accounts of the subsidiary and the IFRS accounts incorporated into the consolidation package. But it would be also the case for intercos between the parent company and the subsidiary. Within the remit of the subsidiary, what is interco in the consolidation package is no longer an interco for the consolidation scope or for the presentation of the IFRS financial statements of the subsidiary. So you will have always those kind of I would qualify them top entries, whatever the whether or not there is a push down of the consolidation top entries relating to acquisitions. I think this one will be tricky to.
I think it would be a separate project if we were to push down accounting. This, this was a disclosure-driven project.
Yes.
But push down accounting would be a much bigger project.
Exactly. And on your first comment, Richard, I have a question on the first comment you made. You said. Because I felt that on page 9 of the slides, there is a case whereby it's not the ultimate parent that is preparing consolidated financial statements, rather an intermediate parent company. And then the subsidiary would be eligible to the scope of these draft standards. So the question for you is, when you made the comment on any company presenting consolidated financial statements within the group, could you please refine a bit your comment?
Yeah, if you go to slide 8, B on slide 8 says, I'll wait for it to get there. Whose parent prepares consolidated financial statements? I think if you just make that where any parent prepares consolidated financial statements, that would be fine.
Yeah, I think we do say it, as long as it's a parent, so it doesn't have to be your immediate parent. It could
you could have an, if you had a situation where you had a top parent that didn't do IFRS, but you had an intermediate parent that did do IFRS, it would still apply.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was trying to make very clear in the scope section rather than just in the examples.
Yes. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Richard. Do you have any further comments?
No.
No. Thank you, Richard. So, Jan, do you want to further elaborate on your answer, yes, 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 and yes?
Not really. You're doing something I like, so I didn't want to. No, it's very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Zeng, do you want to further... You said you say you agree. Do you want to further elaborate on this answer?
Yeah. I really like this comment. That will, release the burden for many companies. But I just have some small questions, suggestions. So the scope of project only provides relief to subsidiaries, only those with the controlling parents. Those parents company can enjoy this relief. But there are many companies without public accountability that does not have a parent, like a joint venture. So borrowing the concept from the common control transaction project, so I propose that these companies can also enjoy the relief so long as all investors agree. So this who do not discriminate them against the subsidiaries. So this is my goal. Thank you.
Thank you, Zhe. Johan?
Yeah, I also agree. I think the general concept is very attractive, and I think it could be a release of a burden for many companies. I think, though, that from the perspective not having to maintain separate financial statements for or accounting principles might still be limited due to the fact that in many jurisdictions, I think there is a link between a local GAAP and taxation, which is, of course, something that we cannot do anything about in this context. But other than that, I think it would be very beneficial. So I agree, but just wanted to make that sort of comment.
Thank you. That's very clear. Srinath?
Hi. I can see that a subsidiary without public accountability can benefit out of reduced disclosures. But I wonder if the parent company has to prepare under IFRS and it is accountable to public, then it would be requiring the same disclosure to come from subsidiary to get consolidated in parents' consolidated financials. So I wonder, how does this benefit if either way subsidiary has to report those disclosure to its parents' consolidation, regardless whether it discloses within its own financials or not? I really do not understand how does this benefit a group of companies when it is prepared under IFRS, and also if it is a publicly listed company, like having public accountability.
Yeah, it's a fair question and a fair comment. At the same time, I would answer, but then it's under the control of the staff, of course. But I would think of the materiality threshold would be different between the individual company versus the financials that would be reported within the consolidation package, because then, of course, what applies or what could apply is maybe not the materiality threshold at group level, of course. It's not what I'm suggesting, but probably at the segment level, I would say. So maybe there might be, notably from an auditor's perspective, a question also of materiality threshold, which would be more detailed for an individual subsidiary than for the consolidation package reported to the group. But I don't know whether Michel or Carlo, you want to comment on that?
So I completely agree. Materiality is one of the considerations. But I think another consideration is when we were when the board was asked to undertake this project, it was to get consistency between recognition and measurement. So quite often subsidiaries will either, when they're applying local financial statements, will have different recognition and measurement requirements in the local GAAP compared to IFRS. So the aim was to streamline at least the recognition and measurement. And so quite often a subsidiary keeps kind of a bridge between its local GAAP and IFRS, which keeps all the reconciling items on that bridge. And it's really to focus getting away with that bridge.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Stephen.
Thank you. In the UK, we do have, through the local regulatory environment, the ability to disclose accounts and produce accounts, rather, under ISB principles, but with reduced disclosures. And I just want to feedback, actually, that that is very, very popular in the UK, very much appreciated by IFRS group bearers. So that then there's less mismatch between GAAP at consolidated level and GAAP in the individual local statutory accounts. So that's brilliant, and I think it's a really good thing for the ISB to be looking at. A couple of areas that would be worthwhile you thinking about adding to the list. I couldn't see them, might have missed them, might be my mistake. Hedging and intercompany derivative transactions. So when you've got a group hedging department that enters into agreements externally with banks and so on, and then passes those down into the group through intercompany transactions, that is actually quite burdensome if that would be required under IFRS with reduced disclosures. So that is something that would be a real benefit. And I'm not sure that all of the disclosures around that would add a lot to the users of those individual entity accounts. And the second area is just around investments. So if, for example, the subject we were looking at earlier, which is around disclosures for acquisitions, just to again emphasize that there are investments in subsidiary undertakings or investments in other undertakings at the intermediate company level, and if the drafting was such that it was requiring disclosures when there was an acquisition, then those companies may be caught by that. So that's another area just to keep an eye on, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Jan and Richard, you wanted to add on Srinath's question?
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed your comment. Please, Jan. Sorry.
Yeah, maybe it'll help the staff as well. This would be a real help for us. For example, our IFRS 2 disclosures, these are prepared centrally by our central HR department who runs stock option programs. But what we have to do a slice and dice for about the 20 affiliates around the world that are using IFRS in the local statutories. And then we have to send this down to these 20 affiliates so that they can use them. And in one case, there's actually only one individual person who actually has the stock options, but we have to send them that folder. And it's about sort of, once you're into IFRS 2, you end up with about a page and a half of disclosure, even if you've got a very straightforward plan. So it's really very doubtful what the value is there. I think a lot of disclosures are actually prepared centrally, and we have to slice and dice and push them down. And in this case, the proposals here will be very helpful there.
Yeah,
and Richard, you wanted to add?
I think you answered my answer as well, is that the benefit is the reduced, is avoiding the audit of the reduced materiality of the disclosures in the subsidiary, and the cost, just purely the cost of preparing the extra disclosures for financial statements. But yeah, you already covered that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Zheng, you wanted to come back? Zheng? No?
Me?
No comment? Yes,
no.
We can hear
no
you.
Comment.
No comment, sorry. Sorry about it.
No comment.
And any further questions for the team or comments to be addressed to the team? Do you have specific questions, Michel, Carlo?
No, we don't have specific questions. We will be looking for the global preparers to help us vocalize with their own local standard setters how useful this document will be for them.
So the team is requesting your help.
Sure.
And thank you for the very positive feedbacks heard, the specific questions asked, and the support, the overall support on the project. Thank you very much for that. Are we done?
Yes.
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 So we are slightly in advance. What I suggest is that maybe we have a short break. Let's do 15-minute break, and let's reconvene at 5 to 2. Sorry. So in 15 minutes' time, and we'll have 20 extra minutes to cover the various updates. We'll begin with Andreas providing a quick feedback or a quick overview on the recent announcements of the creation of the ISSB. Thank you very much.